All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Glad to be here. Amen. I always say better be in church than be in jail, right? Amen. Now, I work as a missionary in jail and prison. So actually, for me, I'd rather be in jail than be in church. Amen. Because that means that's the area where I minister at. Okay. So that's wonderful. Lost the sound? Okay. All right. So sounds good, everything, and we're just getting started here. Very happy to know Pastor Bob, get an opportunity for a year. I got to hear him 7 times a week, amen, and he's taking a much-needed rest. So he invited me to come and speak to you tonight on a Wednesday night, and glad to be here. Let me introduce my wife, Andrea. Andrea and I have been married 41 years. Y'all pray for her. Anybody had to be with me 41 years? That they need lots of prayer, amen. We have 4 children. 2 of them are in the ministry. One of them's a diesel mechanic, and the other one's a mother of 2 children, and she's married to a guy that was in a church I was pastoring in North Carolina. So we're going to get started here in a little bit. You can go ahead and turn your Bibles to 9:35, Matthew 9:35. I was thinking of something. Why is it that I don't know how to do all this technology stuff? You know what I'm saying? I'm sure it's real easy to learn, and I loved it when Pastor Bob did, what's that Bible program they got? Logos on one side and his notes on the other side. And then I thought about it while I was sitting there. In prison, you can't bring a phone in there. You can't bring a tablet in there. You can't bring a computer. No electronic appliances. So God said, that's one talent you don't need, so I don't have that so well. I'm going to let Andrea sing a song, and then we'll get to our message. And I believe she's going to sing a cappella. Amen? Hope you all enjoy it.
Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. In the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king.
Amen. I always like to include her, especially when I preach someplace where nobody knows me. And you know, you're not doing this thing on your own, amen? And even though she doesn't necessarily get up and do all the preaching and teachings when I go into prisons and jails, and every now and then I go in a woman's facility, and of course I take her with me. She usually does sing, she can preach, and she has made up some of my best outlines, you know, that I preached out of, okay, amen? And we'll admit that tonight, no? And so, so I figured we can't go wrong with her singing something out of the Bible. One time, we were preaching all over the place at that time. It was probably 15, 20 years ago now. And I said, you know what? Singing out of the Bible like she does, you can't go wrong whatever church you go to. Amen? You know, with the Word of God, you just can't go wrong. All right, I've been praying. Let's get to the Word tonight. I've been praying, what should I speak on tonight at Austin Bible Church? Amen? And you know, the Holy Spirit just, it was no doubt, like 2 or 3 weeks ago, I want you to tell them about your burden. What you're doing. Why are you going into prison? Why are you going into jail and bringing the Word of God? Amen. Now, one thing I know after a year of listening to Pastor Bob going through the Bible, amen, is this is a Bible church. Amen. It's not just in the name. All of you are very Bible-centric. Amen. The only thing that's going to help those men is that they hear the Word of God. Amen. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Amen. I hope y'all don't mind talking out a little bit. I'm a little bit more that way. We're not going to have it tonight. Okay, all right, amen. So, but it's okay if you say amen while I'm here, okay, amen? If y'all don't say it, I'm going to say it, all right? But I went into prison first time in 1999, And it was in South Carolina, right on the border with on I-95 off of I-95, right there on the border between South Carolina and Georgia. And 200-some men came to the services that night. And my friend who had graduated from the same Bible college I was in, he was already graduated, and he's a little bit older now. His name was George Lanos, and George was from New Jersey. And George said, "Well, Eric, why don't you preach?" You know, and I said, "Okay." I went up there and preached, and I preached a salvation message. And 112 men came forward to get saved. And I was like, I don't know about y'all, that kind of rocked my world, amen? And I was like, wow. I said, they must not understand. I said, y'all understand, y'all coming forward to get born again, saved. Oh, yeah, yeah. And they were all excited and everything. And so we had a three-day revival there. In the daytime, we'd go around, walking around, passing out tracts. And in the evening, we'd have services. And we had pretty much wide open access to the inmates. That was my first experience with it. And I had asked God, I'd been praying for a couple of weeks before that, what do you want me to do? I know you want me to be an evangelist, but what do you want me to do? Who do you want me to go to? What do you want me to do exactly? Because there's lots of different ways to do things. Amen? And I didn't think God had ever called me to being a pastor and so forth. I have done it and totally, thoroughly did not enjoy it. The only part I liked about it was preaching. The rest of it they could have kept. And but I love going in jail. Amen? Y'all pray for my wife. She's married to a jailbird. Amen? I go into jail 3 or 4 times a week. Right now I'm teaching anger management, teach authentic manhood, and then anything else that's in the Bible. Amen? And I thank God for it. I have the blessing and the privilege now for almost 23 years of seeing virtually every time I go in, and I'm not making this up, folks, at least 1 or 2 or sometimes 8, 9, 10 men will come forward for salvation. And it's just amazing. And I'm thinking, you never see stuff like this anywhere else, amen? But these fellows are at rock bottom. They're at rock bottom. And I think this thing right here works, amen? And it's called the Bible and the Holy Spirit and all those things, amen? All right, let's take our Bibles. We're going to read our text. I'm going to give you a little data about jail ministry and the prison situation here in Texas. And then we'll get to actually expositing the scriptures here, amen? Chapter 9, verse 35, I'm going to read all the way down to 38. Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, once again, we thank you for your mercy and grace. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for all that he's done on the cross for us, all he did through us with the Holy Spirit and inspiring the word of God and putting the Holy Spirit in us as a down payment, dear Lord. We ask your blessing and anointing here, dear Heavenly Father. I pray for Austin Bible Church that they see greater days ahead than behind. Pray for Pastor Bob and his wife as they're, wherever they're at, enjoying their vacation time or break, dear Heavenly Father. And we pray that we would just all be edified and glorified, dear Heavenly Father, as we look through your word tonight. Anoint my lips, dear Heavenly Father. Let me just say that which needs to be said. Let me correctly handle your word. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. Now, you know, I want to tell you a few statistics before we go any further. And a lot of times people say, oh, statistics are boring. In the state of Texas right now, there's 136,000 men and women, mostly men though, locked up in your prison system. That doesn't include everybody who's inside of your county jails and city jails and so forth. You're spending over $3 billion a year locking these people up. Does anybody know what the fancy word recidivism or recidivism rate means? That's people going back in. They get out and they go back in. I've met men in jail, 27 years old, and they've been in jail 15, 16 times. I mainly stay in the county jail up in Bell County, and you might wonder, well, why do you do that? The county jail has a rotating population. They're there for a while, 6 months usually, sometimes a year. COVID kind of messed things up. There's some of them that have been in there 3 years, and they haven't had a trial in 3 years. One man I had, he had been in there 310 days. The judge sentenced him to 180 days when he went to court, and he finally got his trial. He says, well, I guess you got 210 days towards when you come back. And it's funny, but it's sad. Amen. He was this handsome, beautiful, dark-skinned black young man, buff, really strong, and so forth. And And when I tell them to turn someplace in the Bible, most of the inmates can't turn where you tell them, and so I have to go around and help them all find their place or tell them to turn to the table. This guy could turn everywhere you told him to turn to. He could do it. And he could read really well. Well spoken. I said, "Do you come from a Christian family?" He started laughing. He said, "Yeah." I said, "How old are you?" He said, 33. I said, "Tell me your background." Now, we're talking like this. We're right out in the open, and everybody, all the men are sitting around, and there's just 10 or 15 guys in the class that day. He said, "Yeah, I grew up in a Christian family, and I rejected it as a child. All my brothers and sisters, they all got saved. They're all living for God. My mom and daddy are PhDs, blah, 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 blah." You couldn't ask for a better upbringing, amen? The flesh is wicked, amen? Some of y'all might know some Christian parents, and they've got a child. They're the best Christian people you know, and they've got a child that just is a wildling, amen? That's this guy right here, amen? And I said, "Why are you coming? You've been faithful coming to these services. Why are you doing that if you hate all these?" He said, "You know what? I didn't figure it out now after being in jail 12 or 14 times. Maybe I need to do something different." Amen? And you know what? And we're going to read this, or we already read it. But down in verse 36, Jesus said, "Seeing the people, he felt compassion." You know what? I bet you his mom and daddy are praying for him. And thank God he came to services. And this old boy right here had the opportunity to tell him. I don't know if he got saved then. I don't know if he got saved in the past. He prayed again then, and he asked, and I believe he just gets saved by believing, amen. But I'll lead them in a prayer if they want to, and so forth. And he committed his life to Christ, and he said when he got out, I said, "Now, while you're in here for 6 months, he faithfully came to services, amen. He faithfully came to services, and thank God somebody was there to tell him about Jesus, amen. And yes, I'm kind of magnifying or exaggerating my office or my position here a little bit. Why? Because there's all these people. You know, God understands. We can't send missionaries into North Korea. They lock them up. We can't send missionaries into China. They'll lock them up. We can't send them into Saudi Arabia. I don't even think you can really send them into Israel, not unless they go in undercover. Okay? But you know what? These guys right down the block. I know a man that goes in the county jail here. And what county is this? Travis? This is Travis County. I know a fellow that goes into Travis County Jail. And he said, "Man, it's unbelievable in there, you know." And all the officers will tell you, when we got you guys coming in, the anger and the anxiety limit goes way down, amen? Just reading and talking the Bible to them and teaching them, amen? And I'm just amazed at what God can do. I thought, this isn't going to do anything. I'm going to lock them up and throw away the key type of guy. Let me finish the story about that young man I was telling you about. So he goes to court, and the judge tells him 180 days, and he's already been in jail 300 and whatever it was. You know, he says, "Well, I guess you'll have 210 when you come back," and so forth. So he went to jail. He told me he was going to court Wednesday, and I was in there with him on Tuesday and Thursday or something like that. And I go to different units, so I probably only saw him once that week. The next week I come back, he's still in jail. I said, "I thought you went to court." He said, "I did." I said, "What did they sentence you to?" He said, "Time served." And then he explained 180 days. I said, "Well, why didn't they release you?" He said, "I don't know. I told the officers to release me." And they should have took him straight downstairs from the judge in the courtroom, and they should have released him. The sergeant always checks on me because the room that I have Bible study in with the inmates, I'm an older guy. Most of the inmates are 20 and 30 years old. I've never been attacked in 23 years. I've had a couple of guys cuss me out before, but I've never been attacked. He just checks. And so he walked, opened the door, and he looked. And I said, "Hey, I think you guys are supposed to have released him last week." He said, "No, that's impossible." I said, "Okay, would you check for me?" He said, "Sure." He came back before class was over with and took that boy out of there. And they released him immediately. It takes him a while, about 30 minutes to do all the paperwork to release somebody. And they kept him in jail another week. I said, "Well, I guess God just wanted you here at Bible study one more time." Amen? All right. I could go on. I'm going to stop every now and then. But you see how much money we're spending. The Bible says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature." Amen? I might say that verse over and over during the time of this message, but let me say something to you. Nobody's going to change by going in and out of jail. The prison system, the jail, they know it doesn't work. The people that do the jailing, the politicians are aware of it. They just won't change things. Amen? By the way, if you ever wondered about welfare, food stamps, and Section 8 housing, 70-80% of all inmates in the United States of America were raised on welfare, Section 8 housing, food stamps, all that stuff. Dysfunctional families. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to do anything. And this one lady said, oh, you're going to hurt them. They won't have anything to eat. I said, the food that they're eating in jail, they'd rather not eat anything. Amen. I said, this isn't working. This isn't working. 1963, a president from Texas, of all places, started a thing called welfare, the Great Society programs. It has been a disaster over the last, 60 years now. Over the last 60 years, the prison population in the United States has went up 704%. And you wonder, what happened? It all started, they started measuring and they started doing all kinds of studies in the 70s. Well, it started in 63. And so by the 70s, these people are growing up and the family now is broken apart because of, well, I can have a house. We got a sugar daddy for the mama. She gets an apartment, she gets food, and she gets a check. And next thing you know, we have a great deal of out-of-wedlock births. Amen. Again, most of the people incarcerated and the repeat offenders were born out of wedlock. Remember? Genesis chapter 1, leave your father and mother, cleave to your wife. That's the way that God wants things, amen? I don't care how rich your country is, I don't care how rich you are. By the way, we're not rich anymore, we're $31 trillion in debt. We started racking up the debt about the same time in 1963 when they brought in that program, amen? And we just ruined all kinds of families and all kinds of situations, amen? I could go on and on and on. By the way, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Preaching still works. The Bible still works. Prayer still works. All this stuff still works in there. Amen? So whenever I ask churches, and I'm not asking you guys, whenever I ask churches to support our ministry, help us get some Bibles or whatever the case may we may be, I tell you, it works. Amen? God's Word hasn't changed. The Holy Spirit hasn't changed. God's will is not my will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen? They can't come to repentance if they haven't heard. Amen? They can't come to repentance if they don't have a Bible. Amen? By the way, we give them Bibles. We get those Bibles from churches that give us money to get the Bibles. The ministry I work with in, she and I, Honeyco there, Andrew, I don't want to not mention her correctly here, amen? Go back with me, if you would, to verse 35. And I got 3 points here. We're not going to get through all of them. Point number one is bring in the harvest. Point number two is back to the Bible. And point number three, the blood of the lost people is on our hands, amen? We all know that from Ezekiel, and he says it two times in Ezekiel, Jesus brings up, he says, you know what, if you don't warn the wicked of his wicked way, his blood will be on your hand. But if you warn him and he doesn't turn, that's on him, amen? You know what, we're not going to save anybody. I'm not going to go in jail and save anybody. God and the Holy Spirit and the Bible are, amen? But I can sure enough be a mouthpiece for him. I can sure enough help him that way, amen? Verse 35 again, Jesus was going through all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, and proclaiming the gospel, proclaiming the good news. Amen. Now, it says the gospel of the kingdom. Somebody came to me in a church I was preaching at, and they said, oh, the gospel of the kingdom is different than the gospel of the church. Yes, yes, but it's the good news. Amen. He's giving out the good news. All right, it was repent and believe for the kingdom age. Amen. For us, it's we're saved by grace through faith and nothing else. You know what? That's all God's called us to do. Tell them how to get saved. They get saved. Hey, why don't you come and let us disciple you? Most of the inmates, 95% of the inmates I see them one time and I never see them again. Shouldn't we try to get that gospel to them? At least that one time. We're going to stand before God and we're going to give an account, including Austin Bible Church. They're right down the road. Why didn't you go tell them? And we got missionaries all the way halfway around the world. Hey, I'm from missionaries all over the world. I got saved in a church in Okinawa, Japan, and the guy was a missionary. Amen. The pastor of that church was a missionary. He came there to do the Japanese since he was on the island. And next thing he knew, he had a bunch of American military coming to his church. He spoke fluent Japanese. And he's a hillbilly from Kentucky, all right? He says, you ought to hear him talk. He can barely speak English, but boy, he can do good with Japanese. Amen. So he had a service for us and he had a service for them. And eventually the church went more that way. And he still kept on with the Japanese ministry as well. So I'm all for worldwide missions. Don't anybody misunderstand me. But we need to reach people right here. Amen? You hear all this woke nonsense going on, all the crazy things going on in our government and so forth, especially down here. You guys live in crazy land in Austin. Amen? The state comes up with laws just to stop what the city council in Austin tried to do or the county council. Amen? So he went through in verse 35. He's getting the lay of the land. He's looking around and he sees. And it's just like over in Genesis chapter 6 when God says, and the hearts of them were wicked all the time. Amen? Every thought of their imagination was wickedness all the time. And he's looking around and he's saying, We're dying and going. You know what? Annas and Caiaphas are the high priest at this time. Imagine the two men that arranged to put Jesus to death. They're their senior religious leaders for the whole country of Israel. Amen? And here he's saying, seeing all the people, and he felt, going through all the cities and the villages, teaching and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. Watch this. He was healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Well, I was on cocaine. That's what an inmate tell me. There ain't no cure for cocaine. I say, yes, there is. There ain't no cure for marijuana. Yes, there is. There ain't no cure for alcohol. Yes, there is. There ain't no cure for pornography. Yes, there is. J-E-S-U-S. Amen. Is anything impossible with God? Is there anything too hard for God? It's all easy for him. He can just snap his fingers. Amen. When I got saved, I was 20 years old. 20 years, 4 months, and one day. August 6, 1979. And somebody invited me to church. I did not go to church to get saved. I did not know what getting saved was. I had no idea what they were talking about. I didn't even know who Jesus was. I knew he was some religious guy, but I didn't even know who Jesus was. I was sitting right about there, and I just went to church because I had promised I was going to go. I got there and sat down, and the guy started preaching. He just preached a simple gospel message. And 15 minutes in, I was weeping. Here's this 20-year-old big old strapping Marine. I wasn't fat in those days. Now I'm pleasingly plump. My wife said, I'm not fat. I'm pleasingly plump. Amen. But every now and then when nobody else is around, she says, son, you're getting a little bit more too pleasing. Amen. There's too much to please here. Amen. So we got to back up a little bit here. Amen. So anyway, the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every sickness. I'm telling you, he can heal any sin problem these people have. Amen. He can help you be what he wants you to be. Amen. If you'll let him. All of us in this room, I suspect, everybody in this room, you look like you're regulars. I suspect you all know what I'm talking about. He's been leading you and he's been working with your family. Amen. Verse 36, seeing the people, he felt compassion. It breaks my heart. Sometimes some of those men will be in there and they're crying in the service. They say, why am I like I am? Why can't I change? I keep trying to change and I just can't change. I've been in jail so many times and I always say I'm never coming again. And one guy got out at, we let him out at 9 a.m. in the morning. I moved from North Carolina to Texas in 2017. They let him out at 9 a.m. in the morning. And by 1 p.m. that afternoon, Charlotte PD brought him back to the prison because he still had his papers on him. He had committed terrible crimes in just that small amount of time. And he swore up and down to me, I don't need to get saved. I don't need any of that stuff. I'll be all right. I'm never coming back. And I thank God let him get in trouble so fast so he could come back and he could look me in the face. I said, I thought you weren't never coming back. I wasn't trying to beat him up. I was trying to get him to understand, son, you can't make it without Jesus. Amen? I don't care how you are in this room. I don't care how much money you got, how much education you got. You can't make it without Jesus. Amen? You don't have to be an inmate to understand that. You don't have to have been through all that stuff. You don't have to have been on drugs and alcohol. You can't make it without Jesus. Amen? You know, I thought about something. Michael Jackson had $500 million, and he couldn't even go to sleep at night because his sins troubled him so much. Amen. We don't even think about Whitney Houston. She had $49 million in the bank. And she died in a bathtub with prescription anti-anxiety medications and alcohol. She had a nice bottle of wine beside her and a glass full of wine. And she fell asleep and just slid under the water and drowned at 49 years old. You can't make it without Jesus, and neither can they. Amen. So verse 36, he saw them. And I got to tell you this. The Bible college I went to, this is when I was 38, and I went late. And Alton Beale is the president. His wife, they're both from North Carolina. His wife, they had a mission conference at the school, and I was speaking. One of the speakers, they had different speakers every night, multiple speakers. And she came to me. She said, would you please, do you go to this prison there in North Carolina? I said, no, I don't go to that one, but I can. She said, well, my brother is in prison. She's a 40-something-year-old woman. She said he's been in prison for 20 years already. He was guilty, had been convicted of some sex crime. They come from a very church family. They come from a very, I don't want to say religious, very Christian family. I said, how does somebody in your family? She said he was being molested by one of his uncles when he was a child. And then when he got to be an adult, he started doing the same thing. And if you know anything about sex offenders, that's usually how it goes. That's usually the story. And he had a 30-year sentence. And she was crying. She said, I wish somebody would go and talk to him. He knows the gospel, but he kind of rebelled against all that stuff, and we figured out he was just playing a game. But he's telling me on the phone and in his letters, he said, I wish I could do it all over again. I would change it. If you could just go see him and talk to him. I said, I'll do my best to try to go see him. And I did see him one time, and he had, see, in his mind, he had his mind in his heart the right place he was going to. Bible studies already that people were already doing in that facility, so that was wonderful. But felt compassion. Have you ever thought about your loved one? Have you ever thought about your friends, about your neighbors, about all these people? That's what God would. When he, in verse 35, when Jesus was going on and seeing all this, it broke his heart. Amen. And he had compassion on the people, and he started telling them the gospel. He started telling them the good news. Repent and believe. Amen. Repent. Seeing the people, he felt compassion. This is verse 36, for them, because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. And I was looking at all those words up and everything like that and what they mean in the original language. I just took Greek, y'all, so pat myself on the back. An old man taking Greek, amen. And so I was looking at him, and when he says distress there, the anxiety and the pain and the sorrow that's in somebody's life. You know, just because we're saved, we're not immune from all of those things, amen? Sometimes we're distressed and we're sorry, but we can all get on our knees and pray to God and get something, amen? We can open up our Bibles, and I don't know about y'all, I can be going through a terrible day. All I got to do is open up this book and start praying and reading, amen? It may be a terrible situation. My wife, her sister just died, 2 weeks ago? 2.5? Yeah, 30th of December, and 3 weeks, 4 weeks almost ago. So we went to the funeral, and all of the unsaved relatives, you could tell they were unsaved, they were all just unhinged. My wife led her oldest sister to the Lord maybe a year and a half ago. And so when she came back and was visiting with us in November, Andrea was playing the radio, and she turned to K-Love. And her sister goes, you got K-Love down here? Her sister lives in Brooklyn, New York. And she goes, yes. She said, you know what K-Love? She says, oh, yeah, I started listening to it last year after she got saved with Andrea. Amen. Now, for me, I kind of take that as a sign of some change. Amen. That I am a new creature in Christ, amen? She was sickly, so she didn't go to church or anything like that we can tell, but we saw some sign of a changed life, amen? And it kind of gave us peace in our hearts. So when she did pass away, we said she graduated to heaven, amen? She graduated to heaven to be eternally with her loving Father, amen? So we got distressed there, and we also have dispirited. They've lost enthusiasm for life. I kind of mentioned that a while ago with one of the inmates or some of the inmates, and believe it or not, this frequently happens. This isn't like a once in a blue moon. Why am I like this? What's going on? Why is all this happening to me? When I was 10 years old or 12 years old, I didn't think I'd be in jail by the time I was 20. What's going on? Why am I like this? And they've lost all enthusiasm for life because, like I said, you know what? Life ought to be a beautiful thing. Amen. God created all this stuff. You know, we just start over. We read through the Bible together every year. We try to, at least. And we're pretty successful with it. And we just got done with Genesis 1 and 2 and this beautiful creation. And he made it all for us. He made it all for us. Not to abuse it or to tear it apart, but he made it all for us. And then here these young people are. I see 20-year-old young men and 18 and 19 and 17. And here they're locked up. One boy, they offered him 12 years. He didn't plea bargain with him. He went to trial, got 33 years. 17 years old, 33, he'll be 50. 50. And by the way, you know that old statement, don't mess with Texas? Well, in Texas, if you get 33 years, you're probably going to serve 33 years. Amen? And I said, son, just take it one day at a time. Isn't that what the Bible tells us to do? Give us this day our daily bread. I said, just take it one day at a time. Keep reading your Bible. Keep going to church there in the jailhouse or the prison house when you get over there. And just keep trusting God. Don't sit up there and say, I got 33 years. Say, I got one day. Amen. Let me make it through the day, and then I'll deal with tomorrow when tomorrow gets here. Amen. It says over in the old King James in the last part of chapter 6, it says, sufficient is the evil of this day. Don't be worrying about the evil of tomorrow. Let's just make it through the day. Amen. I'm a human being. That's all I can handle. So he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited. And I'll be frank with you. You see that? One of the things, every time I go there, they got grown men in gowns and no clothes under. And you wonder, why are they doing it? They try to commit suicide. Why would somebody 20 or 30 years old try to kill themselves. The guilt, the pain, and what we're reading here, dispirited, loss of enthusiasm, disheartened, no hope. We've all got the blessed hope, amen? We're at the funeral, we're not crying. We're celebrating inside. And these young men, I'm not distressed. I'm an old man and I'm still thinking, man, I hope God lets me live longer so I can tell some more people about Jesus. Amen. But these guys, they're ready to throw in the towel. They're ready to quit. And thank God when you have these classes, and it really pumps me up. There was a young Hispanic boy in there. He's 31 or 32. He's got three or four kids by three or four different women. He's never been married. Amen. And he's going to stay with this one girl, he told me, when he gets out. And he's going to get married to her. And he's going to do right because he's been coming to the classes and so forth. And hey, preacher, he'll see me from down the hall. I'm so glad you're here today. I'm so glad you're here today. Man, I can't wait till we have Bible study. And I think, good night. I wish you were like this before we got to this point. Amen. So we got distressed, we got dispirited in verse 36, and go down with me if you would in verse 37 and 38. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. I'll read the other verse in a second. Let me say something. When's the last time you told somebody how to get saved? Amen. When's the last time you've had an opportunity or you've prayed for it, or you've actually led somebody to the Lord? I'll tell you something, ladies. I wish all of y'all would befriend a young girl. Amen. Less than 20, befriend her. They're getting used and abused in the current liberal world that we live in. Amen. You men, I was in the pool. I go to the YMCA. That's my exercise. My back's messed up, you know, from when I was in the military. So I go to the YCMA and was swimming. YMCA, excuse me. And the young man that was swimming in the lane next to me, to me, he's very young. He's 35. He says, oh, I'm old. I'm 35. You know, like, yeah, man, I'd like to be 35. Amen. So I got him by 30 years almost, 29 to be exact. And you know what? We started talking, and he was telling me some things. And I said, do you know Jesus? He says, well, actually, I've been thinking about that. You know, and we got a conversation. No, I didn't lead him to the Lord. I wanted to. I said, well, let me give you my card, and maybe we can get together and have lunch sometime. Amen. You know what? Try to talk to people. Try to interact with the unsaved people. Amen. What am I talking about there in verse 3? Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful. Amen. A lot of times we look at people and say, oh, well, he wouldn't be interested. You'd be surprised. Amen. You'd be surprised. The world is so wacky and crazy right now. You'd be surprised. But I know a lady. She'll see young girls walking by her house and she'll talk to them. She doesn't necessarily lead them to the Lord at that point, you know. She says, well, you know, we do this, or we do crafts, or we do something. What are you into? And she tries to befriend one of them, amen. And she says, what's your name? And she starts praying for them. And whenever they go by, if she knows what time they're going by, coming from school or whatever the case may be, she starts trying to talk to them and start trying to tell them, hey, let me tell you about Jesus, amen. Let me tell you about Jesus. It doesn't work necessarily when you just, the first time, the first minute, amen. Boy, I'm telling you. We need to start telling people about Jesus. You know what? The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Can I get a witness? Amen. The gates of hell will not prevail against us. They can't stop us. I said a little while ago about jail and prison and all that, that, you know, that things are better and all this sort of thing, and that they're happy to see. You know what? I think they're happy on the outside too. Amen. They're happy on the outside. By the way, I'll say it again, and it kind of goes along with this. It's not our job to save anybody, but it is our job to tell somebody. Amen. So what if they say, get out of here, I don't want to hear that junk. Okay, have a nice day, amen. You know, have a nice day. Guess what? You still did what you were supposed to do, amen. I do encourage you to do that because we need to see more of that and we need some help here, amen. Therefore, verse 38, I beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest, amen. And I got two more points, but let me say this before I get done. I didn't bring them with me. I'll bring them the next time. I've got some little prayer cards. They got our picture on them. And one of the prayer cards I got has got me, and it's got Johnson on it, okay? Johnson is a guy that was in prison up in Brownwood, Texas. I met him up there. He's only 24 or 25. He did 5 years. I don't remember what he did. And I don't ask the inmates what they did, but what happens is they eventually tell you without you asking them, amen? And I met him up in Brownwood. He got out of prison and he came down to Killeen and he started going to church with us. there at Maranatha Baptist Church. He's originally from Louisiana. He went back to Louisiana because there's a girl over there with three children by him, all of them out of wedlock, all of them when he was a teenager. And he said he's going to go back and try to get that thing right. Amen? And I got his picture on there, and I said, you know what? That's a success story. Amen? As much as you can. Amen? And I can't tell you how important it is, but what I was going to ask y'all to do with those prayer cards, put it on your refrigerator and pray for us. Amen? The greatest thing you could do for us is put it on your refrigerator and pray for us. Amen? Pray that the doors will stay open. Pray that the people will keep coming. Pray that we'll have greater liberty. Amen? Now with technology and because of COVID, we started having to do things on the internet, and the jail gave all the inmates tablets. So you're paying for three hots in a cot. Amen? You're paying for full medical and dental. They don't have copays. Amen? You got copays, but they don't have copays. All right? And then they gave them the tablets. But here's how God works things out. So we're on the internet, jail ministry in Bell County, and not just with the inmates that are 1,200 inmates that are in the jail, the county jail in Bell County. The system somehow or another is connected with like 35 other states and their state prisons, so we've got access to over 250,000 inmates, and that's amazing. Amen? Only God can do things like that. Amen? So they meant it for evil. God used it for good. Amen? So we're getting out, and we get letters from other states. You remember that message you preached on? I said, that was 3 or 4 months ago. Yeah, all that, and they'll send you back a letter. My wife can tell you, I got a stack of letters this high, amen? And it's not just me, it's the other guys that preach that work a jail ministry there in Bell County. But thank God it's working, amen? Amen, and please pray for us. We need some large print Bibles, amen? Why is that? These inmates, they abuse themselves so bad. you'll get a guy in jail, he's 20 years old, and he looks like he's 60. Well, all the drugs and all the dope and all the partying and clubbing and, excuse me, whoring around and all that sort. Well, you know, he kind of tore himself up, amen? He done burned up the back end already, amen? Well, you know, he can't see very well, and they're not going to, thank God they don't charge you for buying him some glasses, amen? Because if they got him some glasses, you'd have to pay for them. The taxpayers would. So if I get them, and I quit trying to get them glasses about 10 years ago. I said, just get large print Bibles, and then they can read, amen? The sheriff only allows New King James in that jail. The jail we were in North Carolina, he only used King James. And to be frank with you, I don't argue about them what book they're going to use, amen? I'll tell y'all, I'm sorry, I got a lot of war stories. We were in a prison down in South Carolina, in Columbia, South Carolina. Inmate came out and he had some NIV or he had something, amen. And this one guy I was with, he was King James only. He blasted that guy so bad about his Bible. He came out to ask a question about something else. Yeah, that was foolish. And I sat there and watched it. I said, I'll never do anything like that. I do have a preference in Bibles. It is based on the translation and the text that we use and the manuscripts and all that. You think I'd go to them with something like that? Do they understand anything like that? You know what the kid did? He threw the Bible in the trash right in front of us, turned around, walked in, and never came to one service. That was the first day. And I said, that was not smart. Amen? I don't argue about, at least they're reading the Bible. Can I get a witness? Amen? At least they're reading the Bible. Amen? I don't care which one you like. And by the way, in the school I went to, they brought out all the different versions, said, you can still lead them to the Lord in any of these versions. Amen? We say this one's the one you have, but you can lead them to the Lord with any of these. Let it roll, amen? Be like a duck and let the water go off your back, amen? Yes, I got one. When they get out and they come here, then y'all can tell them to get an ASB, amen? But for right now, let's roll with it, amen? And so up here, you know, they use New King James. Whatever they use, that's what I use, amen? I'm not going to fight the feeling, amen? Let's not fight it. Let's just roll with it, amen? So verse 38, therefore beseech the Lord of the harvest to send workers into his harvest. I got to tell you one more war story. Why don't you go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13:4. I'll say a few words there. And we'll go on. We got about 20 minutes. I don't think I'm going to use all my time. I know. We'll get everybody up here to sing a song for us or something. Amen? Well, I'll tell you about Malik, since you want a story, amen. We were in a juvenile detention facility in South Carolina, right there on Columbia, right down. Columbia, South Carolina, the state has 28 prisons, and 12 of them are in the city, the capital of the state. Same thing in Montgomery, Alabama. They got 9 or 11 in Montgomery, Alabama. That's the capital of the state of Alabama. Anyway, they got a juvenile facility right up the road, so when they get old enough, they just take them right down the road to the prison. They don't have to go that far. They had 208 juveniles in that prison. Malik was in there for murder. He killed somebody when he was 14 years old in a drug deal. He shot him with a 9mm at point-blank range, and frankly, he killed a grown man when he did it. Malik, when he was a child, when he was about 18 months old, welfare again, his mama took him to the city dump and threw him out in his diaper. One of those big trucks where they pick up your trash every week. They got signs saying, don't get out of your truck, because they got those big tractors rolling around, packing it down and maneuvering everything. And one of the truck drivers was sitting there looking. He said, that looks like a kid. No shirt on, no shoes, just a dirty diaper. You know, the sagging diaper down and hadn't been changed. Should have been changed 2 hours ago. How she got him up there and got him, I don't know. The guy gets out of his truck, which he's not supposed to do, and he had emptied his load. And he got close. He said, it is a child. 18 months old. He picked him up. You go back to go out of the, you know, they got those weigh scales. You come in and they weigh you going in and they weigh you going out because you're empty now, and they know how much to charge the county for bringing the trash. He said, this kid was up there. They said, they were all, so they called the police and family services at him. It took them 6 months, and finally they found the grandma. They put it in the newspaper, and thank God, grandma recognized him. And DNA testing, they proved it was him, and the mama, she was still getting the check, but she didn't have the kid, so they got her for fraud. They didn't put her in jail or anything. It's terrible. Amen? Malik's in my class. We only got 8 kids in there. And unlike the grown-ups, the police stay in the class with you. The sheriff's deputies stay in there. The detention officers stay in. They said, no, they're too bad. They'll fight you. They'll throw the chair at you. They'll do all. They didn't do any of that the whole week we were there. Amen? We had them all day long, 6 hours a day. The last day on Friday, we bought all those, what's those pizzas that cost $5? Little Caesars. We bought them about 40 Little Caesars and all the soda pop you could give them and get them on a sugar high and leave them for the officers for the weekend. Amen. But anyway, that day, and by the way, the doctors will write down when they keep sending them to the doctors, poor impulse control. I've never been taught to say no. Amen. Malik's never been taught to say no. Train up a child in the way he should go. He doesn't know any of this. He doesn't know any of that. He was the worst of the worst. I said, Malik, you're going to have to be quiet and let me do John 3:16. So I figured, for God, teach him about God, so loved the world. I said, who loved you? Your mama, right? No. Malik stands up and tells you the story I just told. Me and the other missionary looked at each other and we were like, what do you say to that? The other missionary was like a 70-year-old man, and at that time I was probably 50. And I mean, that's just a horrific story. And all the other kids, yeah, that's how my parents did me too. Not exactly, but you know, abuse. I said, well, God loves you, okay? And he loves you unconditionally. So I finally got through John 3:16. It took an hour and a half. Calm down, Malik, calm down. The officers got up ready to drag him out. I said, no, he's all right. Malik was the first one. Does anybody want to get saved? He was the first one to raise his hand. I want to get saved. I don't want to be this anymore. I don't want to do this. How do I do this? He can't even control himself. He can't stay quiet for a second. Big, handsome, light-skinned black guy. Just buff. And I thought he's going to spend the rest of his life. We got to Friday and we stopped at lunchtime and we didn't do the afternoon. We did the pizzas with them and the drinks, and we gave them some gifts and stuff like that that they could have while they were in jail. And that Friday, he said, would you pray for me? Everybody's in the room. I'm like, well, sure. He says, I'm having my 17th birthday. Will you pray for me? I turned 17 in 10 days. Will you pray for me? I'm like, well, sure, we'll pray you have a good birthday. And all of them started laughing. And the officer started smiling. So you know when you said something dumb and you just don't understand, there's some inside story to the whole thing. Well, in South Carolina, when you turn 17, you can't be in juvenile anymore. He said, they're going to move me down the street to the state penitentiary, to the city jail. He says, I'm so afraid that I'll get raped when I get down there. And the officer, he spoke up then. He said, they'll try to watch him, but there's no way they can watch all those young guys amongst those big guys. And they'll try to keep them in an area where they can do something. He wants me to pray for him that he doesn't get raped while he's in jail. While he's in state custody. I said, yeah, we'll pray. I mean, I was crying by that point. They didn't understand why either. I told you we have four children. Our children have no idea. They never, in their wildest nightmares, experienced what these people are going through. It all started because, in my opinion, some worthless president named Lyndon Baines Johnson, who gave us a thing called welfare and destroyed one specific ethnic group in our country. And it's spreading everywhere now. I was working for this one prison, and the warden had been there his entire career with the state. He'd been there like 32 years from when he was like 20 years old all the way. He was ready to retire. He could have retired years ago and got full retirement. And he said, we know what the problem is. And he said the same thing that I said to y'all. All this government money just given away and destroying people, destroying families. It's never going to work. One man, one woman, and some children. Amen? Leave your father and mother and cleave to your wife. Amen? And normally shortly, like us, 2 years after we were married, Monique came. And 20 months later, Jonathan came. Then 10 or 12 years later, Taylor and Tyler came. Amen? And by that time, I was wore out. Y'all pray for me. Amen. They're 26. The youngest ones are 26. We got a 40-year-old. Amen. Hebrews 13:4. I don't know what happened to Malik. I know he got sent to the state penitentiary, or not the penitentiary, state jail, the city jail. They charged him. He plea bargained. He got 40 years. I know that. I don't know what else happened. By the way, this all happened when he was 14. They did not charge him. They just made him incorrigible. Amen. Then when he turned 17, there's no statute of limitations on murder. When he turned 17, they charged him with the murder. They had all the evidence. They had everything. I'm not saying they're bad. I'm not saying they did something wrong. They followed the law. Amen. We did something bad when we made welfare. Amen. Why did she throw him away? I can still get that check. You didn't get a check. You didn't work. Don't tell me where's your check at. You didn't work. If you didn't work, if a man doesn't work, he should not eat. He that doesn't take care of his own is worse than a infidel. Amen? There's one more. But I think we all get the idea here. Amen? By the way, the first thing God instituted in Genesis 2:15, he told Adam to tend the garden. Amen? And then the next two verses, he says, okay, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Work is an important thing. Can I get a witness? Amen? Work is important. You should teach your children. We got a picture of our daughter when she was 3 or 4 years old, standing on a step stool, trying to wash the dishes. Amen? Why? We understood. If God says it's important, it's important. Amen? I just want to, point number two here is back to the Bible. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Marriage is to be held in honor among all. Amen? Whether they're saved or unsaved, marriage is honorable. It's a big deal. Amen? And we ought to honor it, and we ought to stand it. Man, when somebody gets married, we ought to make a big deal about it. Amen? What's the rest of this? And the marriage bed is to be undefiled, pure, holy. Amen? One man, one woman, one lifetime. Amen? If you're in here and you're divorced, let's look forward. Let's not look back. Amen? I'm not trying to dog you out. Everybody has problems. Amen? 13:4, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled. Fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. I've always wondered something. All these kids, all these young men, all these people incarcerated, is it perhaps down here because they were raised in fornication? God will judge. Perhaps that's part of the judgment on the mom and the dad for doing what they did. Amen. I had a man in Bell County Jail, a Texan. He has 16 kids in Killeen. by 11 different women. He's never been married, and he's never paid for one diaper. I was kind of rough with him. I probably shouldn't have been. It was in class with everybody else. And I told him, I said, understand something, fellas. You're going to answer for every one of those children you had. You're going to answer for every woman you done laid with. What am I saying? You need to be responsible. Can I get a witness? Amen. You need to be responsible with all these crazy activities and behaviors. Amen. You're destroying people. You're destroying yourself as well. Amen. I really wanted 13:4. You know, they use the word fornication, adulterers, God will judge, and all this. We need to get back to the Bible. Amen. I don't sugarcoat any of it. I'm not trying to be mean or harsh. Don't anybody think that, all right? And sometimes when I present this or tell this, some preachers go, boy, that was pretty spicy there, brother, whatever. And I'm like, okay, well, I didn't mean to be, amen. What am I saying? We need to get back to the Bible. We need to call what God calls sin, sin, amen. I'm not talking about being mean and hateful. I am not, amen. Try to befriend them first, like I did with the guy at the pool. I told you ladies, maybe you can befriend a girl, amen. Maybe you can befriend somebody, you know, and speak the truth in love, amen. But speak the truth, amen. Now we got them going along with whatever they're doing, amen. I understand here in Austin there's several homosexual churches, and homosexuality is okay. Excuse me, there's a place over in Genesis 18 and 19 called Sodom and Gomorrah, and God rained fire and brimstone on them, amen. He said they went after strange flesh. I don't think God, the Bible says I'm God and I change not, amen. I'm the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I don't change. Well, we need to get back to the Bible. Amen. I want to close on this. And I did use all my time. Acts chapter 20. And I on purposely, I don't know how to say it, but I'll just say it. I told a lot of war stories today, amen? In the trenches, with the real people that are out there. I call this the Taj Mahal. You guys are so spiritual. You look so good. Oh, you got your Bibles? Got them open? Know everything in the Bible? Praise God, amen? I love coming to Austin Bible Church, amen? I'm so intimidated. I'm shaking in my boots up here. I'm afraid I'll say something wrong out of the Bible and you guys will correct me, amen? You know, it's wonderful in here, but there's another world outside of here. Amen. We're in here getting edified, and that's the mission field out there for all of us. Amen. Let me read this passage. Point number three is the blood of the lost. 20 verses 26 and 27. Chapter 20, verses 26 and 27. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. The Apostle Paul. It's kind of his swan song before he goes to Jerusalem, gets arrested. We all know the story. It goes on a long time. He goes to Rome. He's acquitted, and then after that he's rearrested, and he gets his head chopped off for just preaching the Word of God. Verse 27, for I do not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God in the King James. It says, I do not shrink to declare the whole counsel of God to you. Amen. One reason why I just fell in love with Pastor Bob in this church, he went through the entire Bible, all 66 books, and in 52 weeks, I was like, man, I've been in this thing for 43 years. I've never been in a church that did that. My son's a pastor. My oldest son is. He's about to be the senior pastor, and he's been talking about doing this. He doesn't know. Bob does know him. Pastor Bob does know him. My son knows Pastor Bob just vaguely, more like saying, hello, how you doing, brother, that sort of thing, but nothing, no more. And I said, you don't realize, but that guy down there, he just did that, amen? And I think this is the second time he's done it while he's been the pastor of this church, amen? I said, man, them people are blessed, amen? But you know what that verse is talking about, the 26? I said it a little while ago, when we don't tell people how to get saved, their blood is on our hands, amen? One day we're going to stand before a holy God. He says, you remember so-and-so? They came across your path. I was on a flight back from Los Angeles to Albuquerque, and I've been preaching in a prison in the San Joaquin Valley of California. And what's the guy's name? Enrique. Enrique is a local church pastor, but he also works as a chaplain for the Department of Corrections, the state of California. He had, I must have preached 15 times in 3 days. And my voice still wasn't gone. But here's what I said. When I get on the plane, when I get on Southwest and fly back to Albuquerque, I'm not talking to anybody. I'm not witnessing to anybody. I'm just getting in the plane. So I got in the plane. You know, Southwest, they don't assign seats. They just let you in. So I ended up sitting between two big, huge men. And I'm big. I wasn't this big then, but I'm big. But these guys were bigger than me. So Barney was sitting over here. And he says, "How you doing?" I'm fine, fine. He says, "Hey, what do you do?" "Well, I go into prison and tell people that." "You do?" He says, "I'm a prosecutor in Los Angeles County." He says, "Thank God you do it. Man, that's wonderful. Tell me about it." 4 hour flight, no, 3.5 hours, something like that. I didn't get any rest on that flight whatsoever. Amen. And I thought about it. I said, "You know what, though? The blood's not on my hands. He knows how to get saved. The next guy knows how to get saved. And the people in the back in front of us, and I talk loud." Amen. So I told him all about it, and he was just flabbergasted. He was a young man, maybe 35 or 40. He doesn't like what's going on in L.A. County. He would like anything that's going on in California right now. You'd be the Golden State. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, clock's almost out. Amen. Amen. Yeah, let me just close with you all. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans 5:20. Amen. Is it something I'm doing, or is it? Okay. Romans 5:20. Thank you. Romans 5:20, and we'll quit here. I can't help but bragging on God a little bit more. The law came in so that transgressions would be increased. You know, by codifying the law, our conscience let us know that what we were doing was wrong. Amen? The Jews knew it, we would know it, whoever. But the second part of that, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. I want to remind you of what I said when we started this thing. You know what? Preaching works, the Bible works, prayer works, going out there and telling, what does the Bible tell us in Matthew 20? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, amen? And all I can say on ending this thing is, let's go, amen? Please stand with me, we'll have a word of prayer and we'll conclude. Thank you for being so kind to me tonight. Thank you for letting me come to your wonderful church. Even when I'm not speaking, it's wonderful to be in here with you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the Word. I thank you for all these people here in Austin Bible Church. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we'll see greater days ahead. I pray you would open up opportunities for everyone in this church to tell somebody about Jesus. Amen. And I pray they would pray for those opportunities, Lord. And I pray, dear Lord, that our friendship will stay together through all of the eternities. We know we'll be together, but even while we're down here on earth, dear Lord, I pray that we would stay together. In Christ's name, amen. God bless you.